Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is April 29th, 2017, and we're here live for the next 2 hours. And, man, we've got an action-packed, knowledge-filled program ready for you this time around. And so you need to strap yourselves in, get your note-taking materials ready, because there's going to be a lot of information being going out there, and I'm going to give you some highlights of the show. But before that, I want you to know, like I do every day, and for sure every Saturday, I go to Hilltop, Sefco, and Cameron to get my Morning Joe.
When you're on
fresh
go,
Joe, it's great. Premium coffee, it tastes the same every time. It's not in one of those plastic styrofoam cups that kind of like taste terrible. It's in one of these wax-covered cups with a nice lid, and I love it. Go get yours at Sefco Hilltop. Get a pack of smokes and a bag of chips. Get your newspaper, whatever. Because the Hilltop Sefco right here in Cameron has got everything you need. Because you know, you just played it. Well, okay, our timing's off, Trey. We're going to get this down yet. Okay, anyway, my bad. Here we go. Show highlights. We're trying to be cute here. In the course of being cute, we got our cues mixed up. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, since the beginning of this program, we had a program restart a couple of months ago. It has been continuously morphing into a better and better show. Because of that, I have to watch the time on each segment to ensure I get all the information in within the two-hour time frame. So with that said, let me tell you what's coming up in today's program. The NRA segment, I'm going to read to you three true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. All three stories come from this month's edition of the American Rifleman, so if you have yours, you can follow along. Today's License to Carry segment will go over Education Code Section 37.125, Exhibition of Firearms, and Government Code Section 418.184, sometimes referred to as the Katrina Law. I'll read those to you and get us all set up after the break to listen to attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson to break those codes down so us mere mortals can understand it all. Ross is sitting next to me here and he's looking at me like, well, what? Okay. Now, after that, in my topic of interest segment, I'm going to talk about upcoming events with Aaron's Gun Shop and Aaron's High Cap Adventures, because there's always something going on around here. So get your calendars out and get ready to write this stuff down. Today's product spotlight, brought to you by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, will be the Ruger LCP handgun. Now remember, Governor Perry shot a coyote with one of these things, and they made a special edition with the little coyote on the gun, so we're going to be talking about that gun, so stay tuned for that. As always, around 11 o'clock will be our very own Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement, giving us his words of wisdom and experience in the ways of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So be sure to call in and share your positive comments with Officer Dixon. In today's gun training demo, I'll try to explain dry firing do's and don'ts like I've been wanting to do for the last 2 weeks, but maybe this time I'll get my timing right and we'll be able to do it. Now, everyone needs to take cover, because in my interview section today, I'll be speaking with Army Special Forces Green Beret Mark Boyer, a 30-year vet. He's my brother from another mother. And the Hungarian Special Forces animal, retired Zoltan Varga, as you know, my current weapons instructor. They're going to be discussing topics from guns to tactics and everything in between. Let's move on and do our CHL license to carry segment. And just to be clear again, everybody, license to carry and CHL are the same thing, just different terminology and what it means. So if you've got a license that says CHL, concealed handgun license, it's just as good for being licensed to carry. They're just changing the terminology out because we're open carry now. Now, I'm going to read to you Education Code 37.125, Exhibition of Firearms, and Government Code Section 418.184, sometimes referred to as the Katrina Law. Now, when it comes to carrying weapons for self-defense, many licensed to carry holders focus on the deadly force aspect of the laws and don't pay attention to other laws that can easily get them in trouble as well. Let's go over briefly these two laws and get set up for our, like I said, our attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson, in our next segment to explain those details, those laws and details. So I'm going to read it to you now. Education Code 37.125, Exhibition of Firearms. And it reads as follows. A person commits an offense if, in a manner intended to cause alarm or personal injury to another person or to damage school property, the person intentionally exhibits, uses, or threatens to exhibit or use a firearm, one, in or on any property, including a parking lot, parking garage, or other parking area that is owned by a private or public school, or two, on a school bus being used to transport children to and from school-sponsored activities of a private or public school. That right there is Education Code Section 371.125. Now, let me read to you Government Code Section 418.184, Firearms, sometimes referred to as Katrina Law. And I talk about this one a lot in my classes, okay? And this came around when Hurricane Katrina hit. Governor Perry signed this in there. So it's a peace officer who is acting in the lawful execution of the officer's official duties during a state of disaster may disarm an individual if the officer reasonably believes it is necessary for the protection of the officer or any other individual. And ladies and gentlemen, I got no problems with that. Got no problems with that at all. Because I know if I'm wearing the badge, you know, things are tense. I want things to go a certain way, but I will clarify and we'll talk about this in a little bit. Paragraph B, this is the part I like. The peace officer shall return a firearm and any ammunition to an individual disarmed under the subsection we just read before ceasing to detain the individual unless the officer believes it to be evidence in a criminal act, of a crime, or you're using it criminally or some type of dangerous manner here. So that's going to be government code section 418.184. And ladies and gentlemen, if we got trouble out there and I'm wearing a badge and things look a little hairy, I'm going to ask you, hey, let's put the gun down. Let's put it over here until I leave, okay? And once I leave, go ahead, have at it. So I got no problem with that. The problem is if an officer may not know that and decides they feel, well, we're just going to take this, and the law says, no, 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 can't do that. So we're going to talk about that after the break when we get our attorney, Benton Ross Watson, here to give us a breakdown and explain what's going on. Once again, the phone number here is 254-697-6633. Become part of the show and give us a call. Let us know if you have any true incidents that have happened to you, some scary things that you were able to manage because your calm, cool, and collectedness in your training. And to get you out of it, we would love to hear it. So share it with us, 254-697-6633. We're going to take a long break. And when we come back from the break, we will have our attorney segment here with attorney Benton Ross Watson.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Betros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
Thank you.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com. And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Guess what? We're still on track on time. Woo! We're doing pretty good. I got the clock in front of me. I got my time sheet, and I'm going to try and stick to this thing as best I can. If you want to be part of the show, 254-697-6633. Give us a call here. Today is April 22nd, 2017. We're going to be here live for about another hour and 40 minutes. Got lots going on and lots coming up. Now, in this segment of the show, we have attorney Benton Ross Watson with us. He has become well-known around here, and people are giving positive results. And, Ross, it's always a pleasure to sit down here with you and talk about these things and other things. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm great, man. I'm excited to be here again. I appreciate it.
Why don't you tell everybody how they can get a hold of you?
105 East Main Street in Cameron. That's the office with the big milk cow on the side. You can't miss it. 254.
Now, wait. It's a painted milk cow, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay,
right.
All right.
It's not like Chick-fil-A.
So you're not going to hear this bell going from this cow's neck or nothing, right?
Depending on the day. I think we had a case just like a couple, like last month, where the city of Belton was chasing a milk cow or something. Like
that's
that.
Right. They finally got it, yeah.
It's Timble, so we just needed to call
it
local.
They made it out of town before they caught up with it.
So I'm surprised the Milam County Sheriff's Department didn't.
I guess you can't say it's on the lamb, can you? Being a cow.
Wow, that just happened.
Okay, that's why you stick to your notes, ladies and gentlemen. Numbers 254-697-6633. Ross, we keep talking about all these different topics. Last week we were at the gun show. We had a really good time there. Let's not talk about any extracurricular activities that happened at the gun show. Okay, we don't want to talk about that. But we had CJ there, and actually on this one education code, I kind of think it blends in the terminology of what people's perception would be, or they would say, well, isn't that CJ's deal? So let me read to you again, everybody, the code here. This is education code section 37.125, exhibition of firearms, reads as follows. A person commits an offense if in a manner intended or to cause alarm or personal injury to another person or to damage school property, the person intentionally exhibits, uses, or threatens to exhibit or use a firearm, one, in or on any property, including a parking lot, parking garage, or other parking area that is owned by private or public schools, or two, on a school bus being used to transport children to or from school-sponsored activities of a private or public school. I mean, there's so much. Everything intertwines with everything else. But look, last week we spoke to C.J. Grisham about how he was taking a hike with his son and carrying his rifle, and some lady called the police and said, it looked odd. And we see the problems that arose from that. Now, in the education code, section 37.125, exhibition of firearms, can't just about anyone say that the manner intended looked odd or threatening?
The standard would be, it seems, from their perception, right? All they got to do is make the complaint. I think that there would have to be that objective standard probably to be made by the courts in some circumstances, and other circumstances would be a fact question.
If this wasn't a family show, I would say terminology of my disgust towards this, what I'm about to say. And that is, I tried diligently to be knowledgeable on how to do things, what the law says, to put people at ease for some Nimrod dip squat who calls up because they got nothing better to do than sit on their thumb. It just drives me crazy.
Well, how about that? Let me address this law directly. I think some of the perplexing issues with this that some people that read it might have is that if it's saying that I can't go on a school bus or any of these places in an alarming manner, does that mean I can actually go on a school bus or to these certain places. We talked about at the beginning of the show, 46-02 and 46-35, that you can't carry firearms to a lower state educational facility, not a higher educational facility, unless you've got a license to do so.
Right.
But you can't go on any of the physical premises, things of that nature. But you could, like we said, possibly go in, have a firearm in your car, and, you know, drop your kids off at school and leave, as long as they didn't have any kind of recreational activity going on at that location. You can't display your firearm, period, even if you've got a license to carry a firearm. You can't display that firearm even on school premises, even on a college, an institution of higher education.
Must be concealed, that's correct.
So, you're going to be in trouble anyway if you try to go on a school bus with a firearm, period, unless the school has given you some kind of written authorization to do so. So I think, one, this law addresses maybe those exceptions. So it doesn't say, I don't think, that you can just go on a school bus with a firearm, you know, just because it has a positive doesn't equal a negative. You know, it doesn't, it's not one of those situations, because you could possibly have a institution that gives, say, the bus driver written permission, or a student who's engaged in a shooting sport activity sponsored by the school, permission to go on there. And I think just having the firearm may not be illegal in that situation. But now we get into what you're talking about. At what point does it become alarming? And I think we have to, there's not a lot of interpretation of this law, because, like I said, if you're taking a firearm on a school bus, if you're letting your kids take a firearm on a school bus, okay, and it's open, and it's not in a case,
That just hurts to hear you say that.
Don't do that. I mean, that's not, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for some other kid whose mom's told him all kinds of stuff, or her, about firearms and they're bad, to make a complaint, to go home and tell mom, and for this to be a big issue. Just put it in a case, right, and that way there's no problem. But, and if you're taking care of a long rifle, it's probably going to be that way. But when you're talking about, let's say a situation does happen, when you go into the 48028, I think, is the code section, 4201AH, excuse me, I'm sorry, 4201, right, we get into what C.J. Grisham was, what we all think was the initial reason why he was stopped, other than, you know, they said he was stopped legally because he's walking on the wrong side of the road.
But
After the fact, but we know that the police officer said, well, I wanted to see if it was legal for him to have this firearm, and the lady calls in saying she thought it was odd that he was carrying this weapon. And then there was made in the trial court, and the argument was made by the state on appeal, that the officer would have had reasonable suspicion even if walking on the wrong side of the road wouldn't have been there, because CJ was carrying his weapon in an offensive ready position, and that would have come under I keep forgetting this code section.
You know, while you're looking at that,
4201.
Let me make a comment. This morning, I go get my Hilltop Cefco coffee, my premium coffee from Cefco at Hilltop here in Cameron, and I'm wearing openly my 1911. Okay, you see it right here now. And I didn't wear my license to carry badge. And I normally do that, and I promote that if I'm going to be carrying it open, so that people see a license to carry badge. Badge equals good. Badge, gun, good. No badge, gun, questionable. And I didn't wear the badge today on purpose, because I'm doing a test study again, seeing if anything changes here in Texas, where guns are, like, you know, just common. So common. But yet, when I'm wearing the gun in the open without my license to carry badge, I'm getting eyeballs. I'm getting looks. And because of my body mannerisms of non-threatening, the credit card's coming out, I'm buying stuff, I'm up there saying hi to everybody, the impression is, okay, it's all right, but I still get the looks. So at any moment at that time, somebody could say, well, the way it was canted in my holster looked like it was too ready for it to come out, and it could potentially be in a threatening manner. Couldn't that happen?
So this is fun, okay? So, all right. Derek Typo, right, was actually charged. I told you, I didn't really even know that CJ was involved in this case until I did some researching and things this week. But I came across a case as a man named Derek Typo. He was protesting. He was, I believe, within the group that CJ is with, that promotes the Open Carry Texas type stuff. And I'm not, if I'm wrong, I don't mean to put him in a group, but CJ did support him on this appeal by giving evidence in the trial court. But so, Mr. Poe is at the shopping mall, and he is basically really an outspoken activist for open carry. So he's walking in the mall, and he's got his, and this is not a handgun situation. I'm going to get to that one. Okay, this is a rifle, right? And it's just strapped to his back, and he's not causing, not doing anything that he wouldn't otherwise normally do. Like you say, he's shopping, he's walking in the mall, he's looking, he's buying stuff, and he's just walking, right? And with his firearm on his back in protest, right, that he could not open carry, you know, handguns in Texas. And he's trying to get the message out and to things that. And there were several calls to, from what I read from the case, there were several calls to 911 and police that they were alarmed simply by the fact of him having the firearm, the rifle. And I think it was a rifle. It was an AR-15, right, strapped to his back. Okay.
AR stands for assault rifle, doesn't it?
We're going to get to that. Okay. They arrest him. They arrest him for violating this disorderly conduct provision of displaying a firearm in a manner that was calculated to alarm. And he appeals. He doesn't want to risk going to trial. And he says that he was exercising his First Amendment right to free speech, as well as his Second Amendment right to bear arms. And he tries to hold the statute unconstitutional. Now, I sort of agree with the Court of Appeals in this situation that, you know, it wasn't the proper way to go about doing it. I don't know that the statute is unconstitutional just in doing it. I think he maybe should have done an applied challenge and tried to make the First Amendment issue work as that. But there's issues that we don't want to get into. They're not within the scope of this conversation. But I do think that his appeal or his complaint is valid, that you're saying just because I open carry, period, a firearm that I'm legally allowed to open carry in a location that I'm allowed to do it can be alarming. Even when it's for a completely valid purpose, like exercising a political right, exercising a right to contest a political agenda. And so that's foundational First Amendment activity. And so, yeah, I see his complaint that him doing what is completely lawful and constitutional and what he has a right to do was turned and made into something that was completely unlawful, which is exactly what we think, you know, happened in the C.J. Grisham case that was initially they tried to, you know, overturn on some kind of, or, you know, uphold on some kind of technicality, right? But there's these other cases. So we have to ask, is just carrying the weapon in the open by itself a manner that is intended to alarm somebody? So then we have this other case, and it was a 42-06. Okay, it was a 42-06 case, right? And under the, you know, the penal code, where the individual is simply in an apartment condominium, okay? And there was a drug call. Him and the apartment complex president call in that there was a people doing bad illegal activity. The cops show up, this gentleman, right, Sciarrini, I think of his name. Sciarrini is standing with the president, and when the cops show up, he approaches the police to tell him what apartment the illegal people are in doing some illegal stuff. And so the police, he comes out, he's got this pistol in a holster, on the side of his leg, strapped to his leg, and the police, instead of asking about the drug and illegal activity, they say, well, why are you carrying this firearm? Well, because I can carry it. Same thing C.J. Grisham said, right? He said, because I can't. Mm-hmm. The police then proceed to arrest Mr. Sciarrini. And they charge him with unlawful carry. And at the trial court, if you remember from that provision, you can carry a wet firearm openly on your own premises. So he was on his own premises because he owned a 1/180th undivided interest in the common areas of the condominium. I don't mean to be boring. This is a pretty important case here.
It is not boring at all. I'm totally digging that, hey, he owns 1/180th. Isn't that what it was?
But 1/180th undivided interest in a condominium complex common area, which was the parking lot that he was in at the time that he was carrying this pistol. And so he says to trial court, he goes to a jury trial. The jury convicts. Jury doesn't care. They don't like it. So what happens? He goes up on appeal. The Court of Appeals actually reverses this case, right? The state says, no, no. And they appeal it up to the Court of Criminal Appeals. And they said the Court of Appeals fails to realize the fact that this individual was carrying a rig that was akin to Battlestar Galactica, right? And it's improper, and you're trying to get him off on a technicality that he was a 1/180th undivided interest owner in this parking lot. And the court says, yeah, because that's the law. But here's the scary thing. They said, if you thought it was like Battlestar Galactica, you could have charged him with openly displaying a firearm in a manner that was calculated to alarm. And they said that would be a different case.
That scares me, man, because you've got people's opinion that are going to cause you to spend your money, spend your time, and potentially have fine, conviction, jail, whatever, because of an opinion as compared to legalities of it. I mean, that's crazy.
And so, is merely carrying your pistol in your holster when you have a lawful right to carry it in your holster at that location, is that a manner that's calculated to alarm? And I mean,
let me ask this: if you got an officer coming up to the scene because of a call, can he use officer discretion to say, no, you're good, man, get out of here? Or no, based on the witnesses saying that you got your hand on it, your door looking kind of risky, we're going to have to figure this one out. Couldn't the officer just say, this is stupid, I'm not going to even go that way?
Well, the fact is, police officers do have discretion, right? With all due respect, I mean, police officers do have discretion to make on-the-spot calls, right? Which is sometimes why we have to give them a little bit of leeway, because those spot decisions are sometimes hard to make. But, you know, we don't know this. I don't know what this guy looked like. It may have been, like you said, the way that you go into a gas station and are acting like a normal, reasonable person, as we normally see that, right? Which may be also why the jury convicted this guy. He may be crazy looking or something. He may not have the right kind of look. We don't know. I don't know. I don't see the guy just to be able to read these cases. But yes, there are discretionary calls that makes the situation scary, right? And then the prosecutors have great discretion. The prosecutor's discretion is great and wide and sweeping. And they often, like we said, present it in such a way to the grand jury that they will know Bill, simply to take the heat off of everybody.
I think in a future show, I want to talk to you about this license to carry badge. And there was a case where a guy got busted for impersonating an officer in a convenience store because he said somebody called a cop, and there was a cop right in front of him undercover, I guess, and he said, what department are you with? Find out he's not real. But I want to talk about that in a future show, but I'm sidetracking here. I see you want to say something. Go.
No, I mean, so we get into these situations, and we don't know if... I think you're going to have a problem, though, if you just try to charge somebody with openly walking with a gun in a place that they have a right to do that, because that would make the open carry law pointless, okay?
Here's a comment that I'm going to make. To all you people out there who sit on your thumbs and get nervous and worry about the slightest little thing, grow up, okay? Get a life, get it together, and figure it out, okay? You're in Texas, for God's sake. That's a part of life here. Now, if somebody's ridiculously waving a gun around or showing it and threatening them, okay, common sense dictates. But if you're just so scared of your own shadow, stay in your freaking house and close the blinds, okay? That's my comment.
Yeah, which was scary, because the lady in Grisham's case was like, oh, this is odd, and all of a sudden we have police officers.
She's bored. She's got nothing to do. Right. Got to go. Okay, I must have upset somebody. Okay, let's put them on the air and see what they got. We got a call on the line, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see what we got here. Hello, caller. Who's talking to me here? They on?
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Who am I talking to? I can't hear you.
One.
Hold on. Stand by. We got a problem with the speaker.
A ton. Brunch?
I'll tell you what, let me put you back on hold until we figure this out.
Okay.
All right. All right, sir, are you there now?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Who am I talking to?
This is Squirrel.
Very nice to meet you and talk to you. What can I do for you?
Well, it's kind of interesting here. You're saying this guy has this right to do this, and this guy has this right to do this, and all this. But the one thing C.J. Grisham, and it sounds like this other idiot did, is they don't seem to realize the cop can do whatever hell he wants. And if you give them an attitude, they'll give you their attitude. And nobody has stated how either one of these fools acted at the time of being approached by law. I watched a video the other day, a guy at Walmart. One sign said, you can't carry. He come in a different door. He gives everybody an attitude over it.
Well, I'm not favorable towards attitude. But let me ask you.
The law is the law, and the people enforcing it can pretty much do what they want. If you want to fight it, then keep on, because you're going to go to jail and spend thousands of dollars to prove you're stupid.
Okay, well, let me make a comment here. First of all, let me ask you, did you actually see the video, the complete video of the Grisham encounter?
If you saw the encounter,
let me speak. Hold on. If you saw the encounter, you may think differently. But let me agree with you in this manner. When a cop comes up to you and he's wearing a badge, you may not like the person, but you better respect the badge. And you
That's right.
And you better listen to what he says and command, because if you don't, you're going to expect hell to come down on you. So I'm totally in favor of what you just said there. But when you see the video, you will see it was offsided, and it wasn't. It was towards CJ's favor, in my opinion. But I totally agree with you. Respect law enforcement. They're out there putting their lives on the line all the time. Guy may have a bad day, or a gal may have a bad day when they come up to you. Just maintain your common sense and just follow the commands, and probably most likely you'll get out of the traffic stop or whatever it is a lot quicker than normal. So I appreciate your call, so thank you very much for listening.
You're right there, too, on another point. But, you know, packing a rifle or an AR-15 on your back and going to the mall is not the smartest thing in the world to do.
It may not
be. If you want to fight that law, then fight it the right way. Not out here in the middle of public to cause problems. There's white ways of handling these things.
How would you have handled that?
Well, there's other ways of, going about it. There's ways of changing laws, and it don't mean walking through a Walmart or a mall with an AR-15 strap on your back.
And so a lot of times, contacting your legislator is a difficult thing to do, and then convincing your legislator that your position is valid is also a very difficult thing to do when he has lobbyists on the other side, right, putting political pressure on him for votes. So a lot of the ways that we've gotten laws changed in this country is by activists, or by protesting things, by marching, by using our First Amendment rights. So, in essence, like, a lot of ways, the only way we can have a voice is to protest and is to do things to get the attention of public. But the fact is, he wasn't doing anything that was against the law. And just carrying it by itself, in my opinion, wasn't against the law. It was an exercise of his First Amendment right at that time. And so that's the issue there. Now, I agree with you. I don't know about the Sciarrini case, and we don't know exactly what the man was doing at the mall. He could have been acting, but based on the case, all we know is that he was carrying his rifle in a manner that was lawful, other than just being at the mall. So, and that's the issue.
Let me make one other point too, because this is a great call and comment that you made. Until CJ got arrested, I could ask 10 officers, 10 DPS, 10 deputies, am I allowed to carry a rifle in my car? I'll get 30 different answers. Since CJ went through the procedure of what he had to go through, there is not any doubt in anybody's mind that you can carry a long gun in a non-threatening manner out in public, because you can. Now, do I say go ahead and walk out there? There's probably no need to in town, okay? But if that's a person who wants to do it, so be it, as long as it's not in a threatening manner. So sometimes, doing things in this manner is necessary so that we can finally get it straight. But look, time is running out. I want to thank you very much for your call, and thank you very much for listening, and we're going to close up on this segment in just a minute.
Now, and I do want to say, I mean, the mall could outlaw weapons on its location. It could prevent you from doing it. It could do a criminal trespass action. It could have asked him to leave. There were all kinds of things that could have been into play, but I'm sticking to the narrow facts that we know from that situation. So in other kinds of cases, I may not agree, but I do agree with you that if you give an attitude to a police officer, that is not the right thing to do, and you're probably asking to pay me a lot of money. So
absolutely. I cannot promote it enough in my classes, where if somebody is pulled over in a traffic stop, the officer doesn't know you. He doesn't know if you're the person who owns the car. I mean, they can run the plates. They don't know if it's you. So let's say the person whose plates get run is a law-abiding citizen, no records and all this kind of stuff. They don't know if that person's actually driving the car. So I tell people, when the officer comes up, put the officer at ease as much as you can. They're going to be favorable towards that. And probably, if anything is to happen, it may be minimalized because of your assistance and respect towards the badge. Right. So it's very important that you do that, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Ross, we got about 2 minutes left here. Why don't we finalize up and tell us what's going on and any other points? And
I guess we'll have to come back to the other one, but
No, I want to hit on it. Okay. I want to hit on it. Let's talk the Katrina law here, Government Code Section 418.184. This kind of goes to what we just finished up with. It's basically saying, ladies and gentlemen, that just a real fast recap, Hurricane Katrina, when it hit, left a lot of people hurting. And people took out their weapons to protect themselves, even the ones that weren't flooded out. People high and dry ground had weapons, but a lot of guns were being confiscated. And us here in Texas didn't like that, so we had the Katrina Law, Section 418.184, signed into law. And it basically states that even if there is an emergency, If an officer comes up to you, he has the right to take the weapon and ammunition until and before he leaves, he gives it back to you, unless, of course, it's in a you're doing a criminal activity or it's being used as evidence or something else. I can't remember. But anyway, that's the deal. So let's talk about that real quick.
Well, I mean, we really don't know exactly what this is saying, because there would be an executive order from the governor that would declare it a disaster area or state of emergency. That executive order would also have to comply with some of the federal laws on the books. And I say that matters because it says a peace officer who is acting in the lawful execution of the official's duties. What would be lawful in that situation is unclear. He can't just come at you and think that it's immediately necessary to disarm you, right? First, it's a prerequisite that he would have to be lawfully discharging duties. And so if the Constitution was in effect, which there can be arguments made under several different circumstances that we don't even have time to explore, right, which would determine whether he was acting lawfully. But assuming he was acting lawfully, I don't see anything problematic here, except there was a case, a Supreme Court case, called Colander versus Lawson. And it basically allowed police officers to stop anybody on the street for acting in a manner that would justify a Terry stop. And we talked about Terry, that would give rise to reasonable suspicion. It's kind of similar, not exactly the same, but reasonable suspicion is basically that allows the police officer to stop you. And so you say there's nothing wrong with that if it would justify a Terry stop. The Supreme Court shot that down because it didn't give officers any guidelines. It allowed them to use their own discretion, okay, about who was and who would not act in a manner that would justify a Terry stop.
Would you say that as profiling?
Well, I guess you can profile to some extent for a reasonable suspicion, but the profile has to meet some factors and criteria that the courts are going to require as just a new case.
What I meant by profile, I may be mixing up the terms, but profile meant that if the certain actions are being done, you would assume, as compared to, I'm not talking about human being, I'm talking about the human being activity. If it looks like they're, you know, got a trench coat on, it's super hot and it's kind of bulky, I profile, it looks like he's got a gun under there, I want to check him out and see what the heck's going on.
Right, but it's just wearing, that's what I'm saying. Is just wearing a trench coat and looking like an odd person.
No, but I wouldn't stop him because I have no... But I would keep my eyes on him. I'm saying, like, this is odd, you know? Because I'll give you an example. I go into a pawn shop and a guy's wearing a trench coat and I'm looking at some guns on the counter there and I'm using my senses and one of them was reflective surfaces and I'm looking at a mirror and I see the cashier's eyes open up like, oh my gosh, what's about to happen? I turn around and this guy whips something out of his trench coat. It happened to be an electric guitar and he started laughing. And I go up to him and said, don't do that again. You put yourself in a very precarious position. Yeah. So just, that's what I'm talking about.
So look, the basis is if you get into this situation, they have to give you your firearm back before ceasing to detain you. I don't know why it says before ceasing to detain you. If they're still detaining you, it means that they're curious if you're doing something that's criminal. I don't know why they'd give it back before detaining you. But I think what the legislature is trying to convey is this point is they have to give you your weapon back right there.
Right.
They can't keep it. They can't hold on to it and say, oh, we're going to detain this at the police station and let you come at a later date.
So would it be a good idea if we're near a disaster to have a copy of this page so that if an officer comes and he may happen to forget. And we say, officer, would you mind reading that for me? How far is that going to go for you?
is he going to think that's giving him an attitude?
Attitude. There you go. That's it.
I don't know.
Who knows? All right, Ross, we got to close it up here. Tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, where you're located, so on and so forth.
105 East Main Street in Cameron. My phone number is 254-455-0569. That's 254-455-0569. You can email me to it, Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N, at Watson.legal. That's my name, Benton at Watson.legal. Look forward to hearing from you.
Fantastic. You're going to be here next Saturday and every Saturday as long as the show is on. And ladies and gentlemen, that phone call that came in was great. And if you're still listening out there,
appreciate those calls. And yeah, I mean, what he said was right.
Made valid points there. You know, when you look through the whole spectrum and this gentleman talking on the phone here on the radio for a minute and a half doesn't give enough justice to get out his total thoughts. But I know where he's coming from and I know where I'm coming from. So we got to just hyperspeed it when we're talking. But I want to thank you for that. And that's one way to support the show. Give us calls. Make a good entertainment here. Good radio. And if you want to call up, it's 254-697-6633. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Whatever. Make contact. Like us on Facebook. That helps out too. So we'll be back after a long break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, negligence. They can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Petros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com.
If you're planning a party for a wedding, birthday, anniversary, corporate event, or just to have fun, and you plan to serve alcohol, you need a bartender. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps Bartending Service is who you need to call. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps provides a complete portable bartending service. When you provide adult beverages to your guests, you want them served fast, correctly, and with flair. Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps can do that for you. TABC certified, professional, and with a complete bar setup, Aaron's can help make your social event one to remember for a long time. Call Aaron's now at 254-482-0557 or email Aaron's at mail@aaronsnightcaps.com. Make Aaron's High Cap Nightcaps your first call and last call when you want a professional bartender for your next social or corporate event. Call 254-482-0557 or go to aaronsnightcaps.com.
And that's powerful stuff.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's April 29th, 2017. We got a little bit over an hour to go in the show. We still got lots of stuff coming up. And it's always a pleasure to have Benton Ross Watson, attorney, or attorney Rick Dodd in here. It's great insight into how the law works from the other side of somebody who you know and you trust and you like, and you know, they kind of tell it to you straight. It's just good to get that information and have that just information coming from a good source. So we appreciate them coming on. It's a lot of fun. Today's topic of interest section, I want to go over some things that are going on with Aaron's or things that are coming up here. If you want to be, again, once again, part of the show, the number is 254-697-6633. We'd love to hear from you. True story of self-defense or commentary on some other parts of the program. And we also got a fantastic interview coming up at around 11:20, and you don't want to miss that. So we'll be talking about this in just a second. But anyway, on May 6th, Saturday, that's next Saturday, 2 p.m., I have a license to carry class. And that class is $60 for new people. And for those of you who have your license to carry already or your CHL, and it's been a while, we do a refresher course for $40. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to take that class so you can refresh yourself on all these different laws that we're talking about. Now, if you're listening to the show and you're a regular listener, you know how you could read something as I read it black and white, and you may think it one way, but the courts have all these different rules and regs and opinions and thoughts, and then you got the jury to deal with it, so anything can happen. But you at least have to have the basic foundation of the knowledge of the law. And when you go to get your license to carry, you're going to sign an affidavit that says, I have read and I understand the laws pertaining to license to carry. So refresher course is $40. New course is $60. And that is to get your CHL 100 certificate as the first phase of getting your license. It's a two-stage process. On May 12th will be our next round-robin competition. And the prize is going to be the Rock Island Armory 38 Snub-Nose Revolver. And now, if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the Facebook page, we got a picture of it posted up there. It's a pretty nice little pocket pistol for the price. Rock Island Armories, I sell a ton of them. Got a handful of them. I know people that got them. We just love it. It's a good gun for the money. And if you're not sure what the round-robin competition is, it's not your standard competition where you're standing in a box listening to a buzzer, having right-angle clips attached to your gun so you can put it up against a door frame so it doesn't move. This is your gun. This is timed accuracy, different gun stress. Kind of makes it realistic. It is realistic because if you're on the street and something happens to your gun and you got to pick something else up, you got to know the common threads from gun to gun to gun, whether it be an automatic pistol or a revolver. The next round robin competition is a fantastic, fun way to get you started in that type of training. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't charge $35 or $15 an hour. I don't have the stopwatch on you when you're shooting to say you've got 30 seconds left to shoot. It's a pretty easy, laid-back scenario. You pay 10 bucks for the night to shoot. If you got targets, whatever, you pay for those too. But with the round robin competition, you pay $20 to enter. You get to train at the round robin competition. You get to potentially win a prize like the Rock Island Armory 38 Snub Nose, and you get to shoot all night for free. So I mean, for an extra 10 bucks, you get all those added benefits. And that's the second Friday of every month. This particular one coming up in May is going to be May 12th. And if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the homepage up at the top, there's a link to the rules of how the competition works. If you go to my Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, you'll get to see some video of people participating in the event and how it works. So check it out. Take the step out there. Ladies, I can't tell you enough. If you do this a few times, you pick it up real fast and you're going to do really well. I've got some fantastic shooters developing because of this round robin competition. We've had some people who were terrible to the point now where they're winning, and it just doesn't take that long if you listen, and women have a tendency to listen more than men. Now, on May 19th, which is the third Friday of the month, that's ladies' night. Range time is free for all the ladies. Sorry, guys, you're still paying me. So, ladies, come on out. Range time is free, and mark that in your calendars, May 19th. I want to talk about our seminars. You can set up dates for seminars of the home invasion self-defense seminar for ladies only, a co-ed version, semi-auto rifle, which pertains to any semi-automatic rifle, or AR-15 rifles specific courses. You can do that. Shotgun class. If you get five people or more, we'll set up a class for you. And it all depends on which class it is. We'll determine what the price is. But if you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page, you'll be able to check all that out. Now, this is something new. Private parties are available at the range and shop area for those having a corporate, small business, executive type party. You know, shoot, eat, drink all in one location. Parties are limited to 20 people. Call me for the details. So if you're looking to have a different type of party in a cool environment, doing cool kind of things, give me a call there and we'll talk to you about setting it up. And it's a lot of fun and it's totally different than going to Chuck E. Cheese, okay? Give me a call at the shop here. Okay, we're pretty close to taking a break, right? So in just a second, we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, we're going to have the voice of law enforcement, Officer Randy Dixon. Remember, give this show support. Go to Facebook, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Let's break the 500 mark. I know you got your smartphones in your hand right now, or you've got a computer nearby. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and support the show. Click on it. Become a sponsor. If you have a good product or service and it matches with what we're doing here, let's get you on the show as a sponsor to help keep the show going, okay? So we're going to take a break. We're right on schedule. And when we come back, we'll have the voice of law enforcement.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Good afternoon, everyone, or good morning still. It's just a few minutes after 11. Hope everybody's having a great day today. Just a couple comments before I get started today and talking about my topic. Old Squirrel that called in a while ago, I've known him for many, many years, the epitome of good common sense, a good man. Known him and his family for many years. It'd be funny someday how I could tell you how I met that young man. But a wonderful person, a wonderful job he does in working on motorcycles. Today, what I want to do is talk about, are you safe? And we think about that a lot. Are we safe? Do we feel safe? Have you ever been laying in bed at night and heard some noise? Or maybe you've had something happen where your heart started racing because you didn't know how to react, either through a close call in a car wreck? Well, in recent months, some of our area newspapers have been reporting information that many people have been victimized on the streets of the cities and the towns that they live in this area. You know, sometimes these people are doing nothing more than just taking a leisurely stroll out and about. It's warm. Weather's changing. Going to really change this afternoon, I understand. This is alarming to say that the least is for no other reason that any person should be able to enjoy their own town, their city, or their neighborhood, their county, without fear of being accosted by urchins of the street, who many times want to do nothing more than just scare the bejesus out of you. Here in this area, all of us have been fortunate to know that most of us haven't been victimized by that. I understand that the local police department, the sheriff's departments, and all the counties in the area have only had a few reports of people being either attacked on the streets, robbed, or harassed. I know that if you read the newspaper about Killeen and that area over there, they do have quite a bit of street crime and a lot of things that happen. It hasn't filtered this far east and south yet, so we're very fortunate. You know, has it happened here? Has it happened in the Central Texas area, in our area we have? Sure, at times it has. Yes, it wouldn't be right for me to bury my head in the sand and say it never has, never would occur. That'd be absolutely transporting in my talking about what crime is and how it affects people. Does it happen on a regular basis, though? Absolutely, unequivocally not. But I have heard some reports of people being harassed by individuals who are driving by those who are just out and about and walking. Cat calls, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to call it. So what do we do when somebody does that? The first thing is to make a plan and to understand that reacting sometimes is absolutely the worst thing you can do. Simply ignoring people many times accomplishes the best of goals for a situation where a loud, foul-mouthed, or defamatory person drives by. There are some things which can be done, though. You know, I know a lot of people who are out and about nowadays, they carry their mace with them, their pepper spray, they carry, if they're a license holder, they carry their guns. Maybe they carry a big stick, walk softly and carry a big stick, whatever it may be. But you need to protect yourselves. Some of the things that can be done, the best thing to do is you need to know what your street smarts IQ is. Have you ever thought about that? We send our kids to school every day to get educated. We send them to learn, we send them to come back so they can make us proud. But unfortunately, many times we as adults, we're not street educated. We know we could figure out anything in the world on instructions or how to do a bank account. I'll take hints on how to do that. Or any things of that nature that requires us to do some really ingenious things with our minds. But we need to think about ingenious things about protecting ourselves as well. Do you jog or walk by yourself early in the morning or late at night when the streets are quiet and deserted? Do you? Do you stuff your purse with cash, keys, credit cards, checkbooks, and leave it on an open counter, your desk, or the floor? Or worse yet, when you go to the grocery store, leave it in the basket and walk down the aisle so you don't have to push your cart down the aisle? Do you put your wallet in your jacket, which you can hang up or throw over a chair? Is there a time when you let your mind wander, thinking about your job or all the things you have to do when walking and or driving? Do you think it's a waste of time to lock your car when you'll be back in just a few minutes? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you need to change a few habits. Even if you answered no and made a perfect score, read on or listen on. Spend a few minutes now to prevent trouble later. You know, I've looked around many times when we go up, when I go to a store, whether it's in this area, whether it's in Austin or Dallas or wherever it is, and you drive up to, a local Stop and Rob, sometimes called 7-Elevens, and you walk up to them, and you see cars that are running with the keys in the ignition, or you see someone that's left their purse in the ignition, or worse yet, I've seen even guns laying on the seats. Things of that nature just aren't even good common sense. We need to think about it only takes a second for someone to make us a victim. Develop a basic street sense for yourself and your family, wherever you are, on the street, in an office building or shopping mall, whether you're driving, waiting for a bus, or whatever you may do. Stay alert and tuned in with your surroundings. Know what's around you. Send a message that you're calm, confident, and know where you're going. If you look confident, if you look like you're in charge, that is half the battle there. Trust your instincts, folks. If something or someone makes you feel uneasy, avoid that person or leave. Know the neighborhoods where you live and work. That's probably one of the most important things you can do, is know your neighborhoods, know the people that live there. How many of our citizens in this Central Texas area even know the location of the police or fire stations, public telephones, which there's not many of those anymore, or stores that are open late? You need to understand those things. Understand where you would go in case of an emergency. When you're walking, either for the purpose of health or fun, stick to well-traveled streets. I have seen in my neighborhood where I live, people walking late at night. It's dark. There's not a lot of people out and about. It's a sleepy little residential area. And 2-3 in the morning out walking is not the most common sense thing to do. Avoid shortcuts through any areas that are wooded, parking lots, or alleyways. It cringes me to see kids walking down alleyways or through woods to make a shortcut out of going to a store, to 7-Eleven, or wherever they may be going. Don't flash whatever you do, large amounts of money or anything of that nature. It makes you a tempting target. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Las Vegas before. I've been once, don't plan to ever go back again. But if you've ever been to Las Vegas once and see people in the casinos or in the shows or even just in the airport, they're pulling out large sums of money, they're waving it around, they're getting tokens for it, they're doing whatever they're doing. To me, that's not safe. It's very, very, very impractical. Carry a purse close to your body if you're a female, one that doesn't have dangling straps that can be grabbed. put a wallet on the inside of your coat or on your front pockets instead of your back pockets, where most people think they are. One of the things that I believe is really important is try to use automated teller machines in the daytime. Have your card in your hand and don't approach the machine if you're uneasy about people nearby. There was a policeman that I knew in another area that I worked with for years. He had just got off work at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, went to an ATM machine in northern part of Temple and was robbed, a policeman being robbed. The perpetrator was caught. But the fact is, if someone is watching what you're doing in an ATM machine, it only takes a second with your head down and your back toward the public. Have your car or house keys in your hands before you reach the door of the car. Don't fumble in a purse. Don't fumble in your pockets trying to find it. If you think someone is following you, switch directions or cross the street. Go toward a store that's open, a restaurant, or some type of nighttime a lighted house. Walk up to the door and bang on the door. If you're scared, there's nothing shameful or wrong for yelling for help. If you have to work late, make sure there are others in the building and ask someone, a colleague or a security guard, if there's one there to walk with you. Or even call the police department if you're that scared and you think that someone may be around. One of the scariest moments for people, especially if it's at night, is having an issue with your vehicle. I was coming back from Austin late last night, and there was a couple of vehicles that were broke down along the side of the interstate. And, you know, for an instant, you think about you wanting to stop and help them and see if they need help. But then you think, here, no lights on, no police car. That could be a very dangerous thing to do. If you're going to be out and about at nighttime, make sure you have your cell phone with you. Make sure that your car is well serviced and have someone that knows where you're going. Let them know where you're going. Also, and this is probably more important than anything, keep your car in good running condition. Make sure there's enough gas to get where you're going in it and back. Always roll up the windows and lock your doors, even if you're coming right back. Check inside and out before you get in. I realize that most people nowadays don't need to be told this. We really don't. We really don't need to be told this. I realize that most people know what they're going to do, know how they're going to do things. You know, if you've ever been driving in an area where there's a state prison, there are signs, don't pick up hitchhikers. Well, that's a given, especially around the state prison farms. But that ought to be the rule anywhere you go. And I realize that sometimes people just need help, they need rides, but that's not what you need to do, especially if you're alone or especially if you think there's something wrong. If someone does try to rob you, nothing is worth getting hurt or killed over. Nothing. Don't resist. Give up your property, but don't give up your life. Report the crime to the police immediately. Try to describe the attacker accurately. Start looking from the head down, starting with the face, the clothing, any distinguishing marks you can. Make a habit of doing that. You need to also make a habit of doing that with your children before they go to school in the mornings. That way, if one of them becomes lost, you can describe exactly what they were wearing. Try to describe the attacker as accurately as you can. Your actions may help prevent others from becoming victims. Make your neighborhood and workplace safer by reporting broken streetlights, clean up parks and vacant lots, and letting your police and council, your sheriff, your county commissioners know if there's any issues. Finally, and this is really important, folks, in our neighborhoods, many kids are left in danger by parents leaving them home alone to fend for themselves. I know we all have to work, and I know there's a lot of kids out there that have to stay home alone. I realize that's a work of the centuries, but leaving a young child alone to take care of themselves or other young child is dangerous at the best of things. If you know this happening, you know the child is irresponsible or too young to take care of themselves, I urge you to call the Texas Child Protective Services Division. They have a 1-800 number. You can do it online. You could be saving a child's life and helping to protect the welfare of the citizens and the children that are just counting upon us as adults to do our job. So what I've talked about today, folks, has been very important in the fact that, you know, we want everybody to be safe. We want everybody to stay safe. But to do that, we have to work together. We've got to use common sense. We have to think about what could happen. You know, the best way I can describe this is I guarantee you anybody that's listening to this radio show today, they have home insurance, they have health insurance, in most cases they have car insurance. You take that out not because you know it's going to happen, but what if it's going to happen? That's the same with protecting yourselves. Turn your lights on at nighttime, know where you're going, protect yourself in case it did happen. Not that it's going to, but in case it did happen. Report, report, report. Contact your local law enforcement, let them know what's going on if you see something out of the ordinary. And last but not least, 2 weeks from tomorrow is a very special day, folks. I don't know if you realize it yet or not. All you gentlemen better realize it. It's May 14th. You know what May 14th is? That is Mother's Day. That is Mother's Day. So in case to keep yourself out of hot water, for one thing, but to really thank that person that has put a lot into your life, take care of the mothers out there. Take care of them. A lot of us don't have our mothers with us anymore. We wish we did. But be appreciative of the ones that are still here. Let them know that you care about them and buy them something good for Mother's Day. Something besides candy. Something that's going to be worthwhile. Like a new gun from Aaron's Gun Shop. Or send them out, take them out to a CHL, or not CHL class, but license to carry class as a team. What a better way to let your wife know that you love them. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be careful. Watch out for the storms that's brewing. Supposed to be some bad ones. And we will contact you all later. See you next Saturday.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
When calamity strikes, will you be ready? Centex Tactical Gear in Temple has your military surplus equipment, gun accessories, duty gear, first aid supplies, bug out bags, and so much more. Call Centex Tactical Gear at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Centex Tactical has both new and used clothing and equipment to fit your camping, hunting, or prepping needs. Call Centex Tactical in Temple at 254-231-3583 or check them out on the web at CentexTacticalGear.com. Everybody, yes, we are back in the saddle. It's April 29, 2017, and we're here live still for the next 40 minutes. And what we're going to do now is we're going to hit our product spotlight. Our sponsor, ANC Firearms out of Heidenhammer, awesome guy, Arch Kuntz, the owner of ANC Firearms. Been friends with him for a long time. He's got a great shop there in Heidenhammer with a great crew. Got Mike, Clinton, Dennis, and they're more than happy and willing to help you guys out with anything that you need. They've got lots of great stuff, guns, ammo, knives, accessories, holsters, black powder, reloading supplies. You need to check them out. But today, what they have on their shelf, which is a pretty hot little gun, is the Ruger LCP 380 pocket pistol. And I'm going to talk about that here quickly. And I wanted to, like I always do, I always go to somebody else's opinion. And I went to ChristianGunOwner.com. And I was just reading what he had to say. And I'm taking bits and pieces out of the article. But I wanted to relay it to you just to give you an idea of this type of gun and how hot it is. And you should go out and get one. Call ANC Firearms at 254- 254-983-4417. That's 254-983-4417. And here it is. The Ruger LCP hit the gun market like dynamite. When the diminutive gun started showing up in gun advertisements and word began to get around, the demand for the new small 380 was enormous. Concealed carry laws across the country have been implemented, resulting in more demand for smaller and smaller guns. Ruger's name, coupled with the timing of the release of the Little Auto Pistol, created a hugely successful marketing campaign. The downside to the whole brouhaha was that you couldn't find the guns anywhere. For the first year they came on the market, if one did happen to show up on the store shelves, it was gone in minutes. Also, the Ruger LCP seemingly improved the dependability issues found on its counterpart, the Kel-Tec P3AT, which is a good gun too, but, you know, each their own. Videos put out by Ruger showed random guns taken from the manufacturing rack firing dozens of rounds each rapid fire without any failures. Ruger appeared to have a solid winner in this immediately much-in-demand gun. At about 25 feet, the author was able to keep all six shots inside a 10-inch target with smooth repeat firing. Once the sights were lined up, I was able to easily bring the gun back on target after each round. With a design that is basically copied from Kel-Tec, I don't know exactly what it is that makes the gun more desirable to shoot, but it is. And inherent accuracy appears to be better. The Little 380 is 9.4 ounces empty, which is slightly more than the Kel-Tec, possibly accounting for the better overall feel. The barrel is 2.75 inches, magazine capacity is 6 rounds, sights are fixed, and while Ruger doesn't list the trigger pull weight on its website, the trigger is comparable in feel to the Kel-Tec P3AT. What would I do? I'm not generally a fan of this size gun, but if I were in the market for one, this would be it. Now, this is me speaking here. This is Matt speaking. This particular gun at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer comes with a laser mounted underneath the barrel just forward of the trigger guard. Now, lasers definitely have their purpose, but that purpose must be practiced to ensure the proper technique for using a laser. So go to ANC Firearms and check it out. Support them because they support this radio show, ladies and gentlemen. So check it out, ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Call them at 254-983-4417. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to waste another minute, and we're going to get right into this. I've got two fantastic guests here today in our interview segment, and you've heard them both before, but now they're together. So strap yourself in, take cover, because this is going to be good. I've got Mark Boyer and Zoltan Varga. Mark is a 30-year retired Army Special Forces Green Beret, and who after 10 years of combat in Afghanistan, Iraq, Philippines, Africa, is still operating in the Middle East and the Dark Continent as contract security and counter-terrorism advisor. Zoli, when we get him on here, I'm going to have him tell us about him a little bit, too. He's sitting shotgun here with Mark, and they're going to be talking about some points we've discussed, and it's going to be pretty good. So, Mark, welcome to the show. Get your mic here.
All right.
And Zoli, it's good to have you back on. Why don't you tell everybody a quick brief of your experiences, too, how long you've been in and where you've been stationed at. Get your mic closer, too.
I was born and raised in Hungary. I spent 13 years in Hungary in Defense Forces and 9 years of that in the Special Forces Battalion. I served with the U.S. Special Forces in Afghanistan.
So I've got a power-packed left and right punch sitting to the left of me here, and between Mark and Zoli, we're going to have a great interview. And what we're going to go over is a lot of points. And we were discussing it was last night, wasn't it, guys?
Two nights ago.
We were discussing basically what we're going to talk about. And ladies and gentlemen, the conversation just went on its own. It became its own animal, and it was fantastic. So we're going to do that again. And why are we here, guys?
Well, before we get started, before the madness begins, I want to show everybody this gun right there.
He's talking about the LCP.
I'm not a big fan of small arms like this, but in my history, I know that they have their place. And if this Wildcat is shooting at 25 meters and hitting a shot group like that, imagine what you're going to do on a real confrontation. And most real confrontations are between 5 and 10 meters. So that means your shot group's going to get closer, a little bit tighter. So when you get that narrowed vision, that tunnel vision, when you're focused on the target, then you're going to be able to execute with excellent precision. And also, a weapon like this is perfect for a close-in contact shot. So when somebody's in there close to you, threatening your life, then a contact shot to the center of the chest, 2 rounds, boom, engagement's over. It's a good gun, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's practical application from someone who knows what they're talking about. So fantastic. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417. Check it out. You can get your gun right there. Go to my Aaron's Gun Shop Facebook page and look at the picture, and you get to see it there as well. Okay. Guys, we have a whole bunch of topics here we're going to talk about.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
I'm going to list them, and then we'll go over them.
Before we start, Matt, he's my brother. Anyhow, I wanted to also let your listening audience know that with our experience downrange as operators and combat veterans, we know that there's a big difference between the combat theater and operating downrange against a known target, and then also versus that to the civilian out here in the public that has to face daily threats whenever, you know, because you can't plan for these things.
Well, that's right, because the last seminar we did together, guys, we talked about that. We said, we're going to use your excellent combat training and blend it into a civilian environment, and it works perfectly.
That's what I'd love to do today.
Nothing changes. Nothing changes with its tactics. It's just the environment. Wouldn't you agree?
The environment and the threat status, because over here, you never know. You never know when it's going to happen, and you have to be able to engage without a hesitation.
Okay, so let's list the points that we're going to talk about. Get your pens and paper out. A lot of good stuff. We're going to talk about the right tool for the right job. Each weapon has a purpose. We're going to talk about team guys versus guys on a team. That got pretty heated. Gun collectors and gun users. Weapon pre-placement. Rehearse action on objective. Engagement. Control pair. Continuous pair. Triple tap. Follow-ups. Vehicle engagements, including weapon placement and shooting through glass. A lot of debate on that one. Vehicle preparation. Sponsorships. Rules of engagement. Home invasion. Shotgun. Pistol. Assault rifle. Etc. Etc. Etc.
So it's going to be a party.
Yes, it is. So let's do this. Let's talk, since we always talk guns on this show. Let's talk the right tool for the right job. Each weapon has a purpose. And somebody start off, and the other's going to bounce off the other. And I'll interject when I feel it necessary.
Okay. Zola, you and I love this topic because we know that our first line of defense, or our first thing, that our biggest priority is going to be our home defense.
Yep.
Home defense. And I'm going to run right into this, where I've heard all kinds of people say, I'm going to use a shotgun for home defense because all I have to do is rack that slide, and I'm going to scare the intruder. He's going to go running out the door. And I want to throw out the BS card on that, because racking a slide is no more than just bluffing. You have to be able to engage with that shotgun and get in the right mindset that once you pull that trigger from that shotgun, you're going to have body splatter all over the living room. You don't know if the round's going to penetrate a wall or whatever. Plus, you only have a limited number of rounds. So you better practice with that. You better rehearse with it. But depending on your house, a shotgun may or may not be the tool or the weapon of choice.
My opinion is these things. The people's opinion is the shotgun is a perfect weapon for home defense. We can say a thank you for this to Hollywood. When they are showing a SWAT team entering in a building, almost every team has one guy with a shotgun.
And what's he use that shotgun for?
Open the door.
Bingo.
Because if you are using a slug, maybe the neighbor will ask you later on, why do you shut his freezer?
Mm-hmm.
If you are using buckshots or small shots, it can be more collateral damage. Worst case, in your own family.
That's right. And we only use a shotgun really for breaching.
Yeah.
Like you say, opening the door. And after that, everyone goes to small arms. Some people do use M4 because our environment in Iraq and in Afghanistan, everything is reinforced mud huts or concrete walls. But here in America, an M4 type platform might over-penetrate into somebody else's room.
Yeah. I got to make a clarification. Not a clarification, but a comment. Ladies and gentlemen, if all you have is a shotgun, if all you can afford is a single-barrel shotgun, master what you have. What we're talking about here is if you're blessed to the point where you've got extra money where you can, after you're listening to this and you feel, you know, I like the advice, I'm going to go get one of these, or I've already got one, you might want to consider using that as compared to a shotgun. But what I'm saying is you got to master what you have if that's all you got. So go ahead, guys.
I agree with you 100%. And also, we have to consider where are we going to store that? In a home defense, I'm going to have that weapon right next to my bed. And this also goes into weapons placement. I have my .45 next to my bed. My wife has a .45 next to hers. And, well, our bed.
I was going to say. Okay.
But we rehearse and we practice on how to use it, how to do magazine combat reloads, etc. Even though once we eliminate the threat, then the gunfight's over, of course. But that's the weapon of choice that we train with all the time under different type environments, under different lighting situations. Because at night, everything's going to be dark. You know, you're not going to be flipping on a switch and illuminating your position and saying, hey, intruder, here I am. You're going to operate in the dark, and then you're going to approach. That's where a laser, perhaps if you're properly trained with it, or a tactical light would come in. But my bedside, I know how to engage with that 45, and I'm going to double tap and eliminate the threat because my life is in danger or my family's life is in danger. So a 45 or similar weapon, small arms, it's easily concealable. It's easily lockable, you know, in case you have small children or something of that nature. But that is a go-to weapon. It's out of sight, out of mind, whereas a shotgun at the head of the bed kind of reminds me of an Israeli person I used to know long before I was married. But not going, moving on.
Okay, let me make a comment about the rifle and pistol thing, too. When we're training, going down hallways, turning corners, having a shotgun, there's definitely little tricks you can use to turn around with a shotgun, but it takes a little bit more effort to turn. Whereas the handgun, if I'm going down a narrow hallway and I'm turning a corner, I can pull that gun into my chest. As I'm turning the corner to eliminate or reduce the risk of a threat trying to grab my weapon. But if I've got a long 18-inch barrel or longer and it's coming around a corner,
it's going to get taken away.
Somebody's going to either block it, push it out of the way, take it from you, and so on and so forth. So there's disadvantage, although it's got the power, it's got disadvantage of it's more clumsy. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I do, and I love my house so much, especially my flat-screen TV. I do not want to have a round before my TV. I just redid my walls, and I want to take care of my house. I love my carpet. I don't want any bloodstains on the carpet.
Zoli, you made a comment about this, about although the weapon's important too, the type of ammunition that goes in the weapon plays a very important part in too. You want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. technically, if you are living out in the country like you, Matt, and you are using an AR platform or a big shotgun for home defense, it's technically... With that ammunition, it's not really need to care about where the round's going because they end up in somewhere in the trees or the pasture. But who are living in an urban area like Mark and me, maybe if I start eliminating the threats with an AR in my house, the rounds will be knock on his door.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. He'll start shooting back, right?
No.
He'll calculate the trajectory and say, oh, that's just Zoli.
But it would bring back some good memories.
Yeah.
Well, describe, though... Give some example of some different types of ammo. Like you were talking about rubber bullets, bean bags, frangibles.
Yeah, these
hollow points.
These kinds of what mostly used for shotguns or special type of handguns is rubber bullets. Are non-lethal. They are cause a huge pain, and mostly the military and the police force using them and for riot control.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they have for shotguns the taser round, what is technically a slug. A non-lethal slug, but will using the taser technology electrolyze you.
So a scenario could be first round taser. If that doesn't work, the next one backed up with shot of some sort.
Yeah, with double bucks.
Okay, all right. So we've got the right tool for the job. Each gun has a purpose. And let me make another clarification. I'm not. If I got a chicken snake in the chicken coop, I'm not going to be using a freaking 10-gauge shotgun. I'm going to go through my little Ruger 22 with some rat shot and go one or two shots, get the hoe out, the garden tool, the hoe, okay, and grab that snake, throw it out over the fence, get rid of it. Or if I feel as though I've got hog problems, I may use something else besides rat shot. I'm going to use my high caliber rifle or shotgun or something like that. So every gun definitely has its purpose. And it's not just caliber or type of gun. It also has to do with the size of the gun, right? There's if you're a small, petite person and we're carrying a huge freaking gun, that's what we just talked about, the LCP here. It's a small, compact weapon for somebody who's either large or small. So there's all these different things come into play, right?
You're reading my mind, pal, because I was just thinking about some of these older people that are preyed on by gangs or maybe they're attacked by dogs, because it is so tragic. Every week there's another pit bull attack or another child or an elderly person being attacked by a dog. And I'm thinking an older person may not have the hand strength or the wrist strength to be able to engage with like a 44 Magnum or something. So this Ruger LCP, I mean, that's a great weapon. I helped a lady who has a ranch, and she was afraid of coyotes coming in. And she wanted a pistol that she could carry with her all the time, and she was also concerned about snakes in the barn. So, yeah, a Ruger 380 is a great weapon for that, and you can get shot shells for it if you're just concerned about snakes. And with the right bullet in there, it will penetrate a coyote up close.
Well, Governor Perry shows us that, right?
Yeah, there you go. It's all up to your human or your physical status.
Okay, let's unless you got something else, Zoli.
Oh yeah, just a side mark. Also, because of the size, for in today's fashions, the younger generation like carrying a purse, and they don't wear too much and too big size clothing.
Right point.
They can put in the purse or even in the pocket. And carry, and with the right ammunition, Charles can eliminate the threat in close range.
That's right. He made a good point, because I think I made a comment a couple of weeks ago about the types of clothes I wear. I wear more form-fitting clothes than non-form-fitting for one specific reason. That is, when I used to wear looser clothes, I had a tendency, if I'm going to get roughed up or in a situation, things get caught on it. I want it form-fitting. I get to feel better, too. You know, as I'm brushing across it, I get to feel things better. So I personally like that. So I have to carry a smaller type of gun because of the way I dress, whereas some people who wear baggy clothes, box shirts, you can hide a freaking tank under that. But go ahead, Mark. You're going to say something.
No, man. I was thinking about your chesty device that you designed. It's very concealable for that. I forgot the weapon that it goes for.
North American Arms Mini Revolver, the Buster and the Chester holsters.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. And it's highly concealable. You wear it on a chain. It's always available. And how many shots does that have?
North American Arms got five rounds.
Five rounds.
And if somebody says, I don't want to get that 22 or 22 mag, not going to do much, let me shoot you, and I guarantee you'll think otherwise, okay?
Not meaning to plug you, but if you ever go to Aaron's Gun Shop, folks, check that out. That's a great weapon to have, or a great holster to have for many different applications. But go ahead.
Time's ticking away. I want to make sure we get some of these points. We got into this one, team guys versus guys on a team. Let's talk about that, guys.
Yes.
First thing that comes to your mind is what? You got guys who work together, and then guys who just want to hang around, right?
Right. And this applies to the family environment and your friend, your co-workers also, depending on what you're doing. If you're doing law enforcement, if you're firefighting or EMS, or if you're in a school environment, business environment, everybody likes to be part of a team. And if you're part of a team, then you're going to give 110%. Everybody on our special operations teams, we gave 110% to each other because we had each other's back. But it always seemed to be one weak link in the group that they love to brag about being on an SFA team. They have the glasses, they got the cool shirts, but they're worthless as tits on a boar pig. And sometimes, like in EMS or in these other environments, I shouldn't say EMS because I love those guys. They're fantastic heroes that you know, they don't get enough credit. But there's always a weak link. And everybody on that team, in your family, and your job site, they all have to be properly trained, because you don't want that one weak link who likes to just hang out and say, yeah, I'm doing this with these guys and blah, blah, blah. But they got nothing to back it up with, man.
Zoli made a comment, and I'm going to have him say it, and I'll help you out on that comment, but I want to make a comment, too. If I'm in the house prepared to put my life up for my family, I'm expecting the same in return. However, in the course of conversation with Zoli brings up good points that it's not always necessary for a team member to hold a gun. One of the best things you can do to support your defender would be what, Zoli? What would be some of the things that you've mentioned before?
Well, for example, train your family, like small or young children, or if you have a children who doesn't like the guns or not really familiar with them, they can be more dangerous with a gun walking around the house than someone who is not there. So technically, the best thing for these kinds of situations, in my opinion, to tell your children, if there's something you hear, go under the bed, go into the closet, lay down, and don't move. Don't come out until I personally don't say this. Hey,
explain. There's a couple reasons for that. Explain why. What's the purpose for you saying to do that? Other than obvious safety, but talk about it.
First of all, as we are talking about the rounds going through the drywall, they can hit accidentally someone who is standing behind the drywall. Other reason, there are just if the kid's starting running around in the house and the wife is screaming and you have to engage with the threat, it just makes your own job to defend the family way more difficult.
So what you're saying is if you're battening down the hatches, if the wife's not going to participate in the self-defense mode, she's going to do what she can to stay out of the way,
yeah,
so that you can perform your task of eliminating the threat. And the children as well, if they're not going to participate, or if they're not able to, if they're not old enough, if they don't have the capabilities, they're going to hunker down and they're going to be out of the way so that they're, once again, not a threat to you. And you can say to yourself, I know where my kids and my wife are. That's one less thing I got to worry about. Now I can listen to the squeaks in the floor panels. I can look at the reflections off the glass, the picture windows. I can look at lights, little LED lights, and see the person cross by them in shadows. I can mark my target and I can engage. Basically is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
There's also two other things there. Safe words. One was like Tabasco. It means that, hey, family, we've got a bad situation going on. Take your safe position. and then also an all clear safe word to let everybody know that, yeah, the threat has been eliminated. You can come out. Let's do an accountability check and make sure everybody's safe. And then call 911, of course.
Now, a lot of people out there are probably saying, it's never going to happen to me. No, I live in a good neighborhood. Or, you know, I don't need to carry a gun because I'm going to this grocery store in a high-end part of town. And you know what? Stuff's happening all over. So if you don't prepare yourself for your home or going outside, you're, in my opinion, extremely foolish, blind to the reality of what's going on out there, and you become a pain and a hindrance to those who have to go and save your rear end. Okay. Anything else on that topic, guys? Because time's a ticking. We got more to go over. Let's talk gun collectors and gun users. Why don't we clarify what you're talking about there?
Well, when I sent that note to you, I was thinking about some of the people I've talked to in the community who have told me that they've collected numerous guns. Like one guy said he has over 300 guns, but they're all locked safely away in a vault. And I'm thinking this guy is an art collector. He loves these things for the art pieces that they are.
And that's fine.
For the history.
That's fine.
I admire and respect that. And then we've got these other guys. There's like three or four levels. You got some other guys who like to collect maybe 15 AR-15s or M4 type configurations, and they're stocking up on it. And I'm thinking this guy's collecting weapons, but why? You can only shoot one at a time, right? But it's an investment to these guys. And most of them know exactly everything about that weapon piece, and I applaud them for that. They're very, very responsible. And then you've got the other guys who get one weapon of perhaps each style because they're getting the right tool for the right job, and they're becoming better at that, almost masters of each weapon, whereas the other guys could be jacks of all trade, masters of none, that kind of a thing. But a lot of people have asked me, well, Mark, how many guns do you have? I said, well, I've just got one small arms, I got one .45, I got one assault rifle, I got one shotgun, because they all have their own separate purposes. But these gun collectors out there, I've seen some of these guns. I mean, they're from the 1800s, and they're beautiful.
Well, let's be clear here. There is nothing wrong with the gun collection. What we're trying to make clear is, don't have the false reality just because you have a lot of guns that you're safe and you can utilize it. No. If you're not familiar with it, you've got to learn the common thread of familiarity with all different types of guns, whether it's rifle, shotgun, pistol, revolver. There's common threads that you must learn and master so that you can pick up any type of gun, which brings us to the round robin competition, and that's one of the reasons why I do it. You got all these different guns from different people, guns that you keep on your nightstand, and somebody hasn't seen it before, but it doesn't matter because you understand the common thread of how to manipulate a revolver or a pistol or whatever. So that comes into play.
It's always like the master on your competition shot, him and a few other guys. I mean, I got to pay them respect, but it's an excellent competition. It just tosses up everything, so it's the unknown.
Unknown.
It's beautiful.
Okay, let's move on. Unless Zoli got a comment on that?
Nope.
Okay, let's move on to weapon pre-placement. That's a big one. Weapon pre-placement. Talk about that and what it means.
Okay, I'm going to dive right on that one. We have a lot of engagements in the home. We have a lot of engagements in the vehicle and on your person. So at the home, you can have one if you don't have small children. I don't see anything wrong with having a weapon in every room, like one perhaps Velcroed underneath the dining room table or in a kitchen cabinet drawer. I have that. And sometimes it raises a few eyebrows. In bedrooms, you know, because you don't, if you're in the back bedroom and the breach is at the front door, you don't want to have to go all the way to the guest room or the vault to get your weapon. You always want it available and with ammo.
I want to make a comment to that because I read a lot of stories from the NRA stories about how the person hears something and has to go all the way back to get the weapon to come back to take care of the threat. Whereas if you're going through the house, and like you're saying, there's different weapons in different spots, if you're able to do it financially and you can afford it, you have key weapons in key places, and who has to go travel back for a gun? You just pick up the one en route to your destination, which is the threat. Go ahead.
I believe in holding your ground, or standing your ground. I believe in eliminating the threat. But if you can move around in your house, why not just go out the back door and call 911? Avoid the whole fight and all the legal battles also. But then we're also talking about weapon placement in the vehicles, because you don't want it under the seat where if you put on the brakes, the weapon's going to slide out and get trapped underneath your accelerator. You want to have it in a good, secure place that you always go to, not different locations throughout. You always want it to go to the right place. And if you're pulled over for a traffic stop, you don't want the police officer to come in and say, okay, you're reaching into your center panel and I see a gun there, and now he draws his weapon and you just escalated everything. At a traffic stop, your hands should go up. You should say, good afternoon, officer. It's good to see you. And for courtesy's sake, I would like to tell you that the weapon is in the center console over here. I'm going to keep my hands where you can see it. And how can I help you today? You know, work with him at all times, but also be ready to engage with that weapon if you have to at a traffic stop. You know, shopping in town.
No, we talked about that too. So not just having a gun in the car doesn't mean too much if it's not
concealability.
Concealability, proper placement of the weapon, so on and so forth. Let's clarify this right now. You can have a loaded handgun in your car whether you have a license or not. The only stipulation for those who don't have licenses is it must be concealed. For those who do have a license, it must be retained in a hip holster or shoulder holster, and it can be out in the open as long as it's retained in those two, or you can wear it concealed. So you can have the weapon in your vehicle, unlicensed people, but it must be concealed, okay? Now the question is, where is it in the car? How do you go get it from your car? What if you're left-handed or right-handed and the threat comes from alternating positions of left or right or front? What do you do? Which is going to bring us to the point of shooting through glass and doors and all that. So let's combine all this together in the 12 minutes we got left here and come up with some good answers, commentary, and direction.
Well, first of all, as you said, you have to follow the laws how you have to place your weapon. Also, you have to make some common sense. Is your weapon is you can reach it quickly and effectively use it in case you need to use it. Also, you have to make it secured with unauthorized user cannot have it.
Right.
If you like pick up a hitchhiker or something and that person cannot get the gun or cannot see the gun. There are many kinds of consoles on the market. You can just put in the middle console. But you have to figure out this is the place where I keep my gun, and this is the course of action in case I will reach my gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in a traffic stop and someone wants to steal your car or just bring out a knife or something to your head, it's like, give me your money or give me your phone or something. And you have to figure out is the gun is in the middle console. I open up the middle console and get the gun out, pretending I am going for my wallet.
You know what I do on that? The scenario that you're saying is, I'm sitting in the driver's seat, and everybody visualize with me. You're sitting in the driver's seat, and your left shoulder is up against the door. You have less room for movement, obviously, because you got a door in your way. So your right side is open to do a lot of things. Now it all depends if you're left-handed or right-handed. Doesn't really matter. We're going to utilize it. So what I do is I say, okay, if I'm sitting in here with the particular gun that I'm going to utilize for that car, I'm going to see I can cross shoot across my chest to go to the left side, or I can extend out my right arm to the right side. And then I had to get the gun from someplace. Let's say it's a center console. So as I'm holding the gun, I'm going to figure out what's the most comfortable way for me to reach into the center console. And that's the way the gun should be resting, so that when I go to grab it, it's in the ready position to come out and I take the shot. Yes?
Yeah. Yes. And not only that, my friend, but my wife and I, she's so awesome. My wife and I, we rehearse what happens if we have an engagement, and she already knows to lean back and recline in her seat so she's out of the line of fire and I can take the clean shot out of the passenger window, and she's not going to get hot brass down her shirt or other things. I've seen guys have accidental discharges in vehicles because they're reaching for that damn hot round down their shirt. I'm sorry for swearing, folks. But, yeah, it gets hot out there. So, yeah, you got to practice these maneuvers. You can't just say, yeah, I visualize it. I see it in my mind. That's what I'm going to do. Go someplace safe and practice these maneuvers.
That'll be rehearse actions on objective and engagement.
Oh, well, yeah. We're just barely skimming over actions on the objective, because actions on the objective go everywhere. In restaurants, into gas stations, when you're going over to the quick stop for a Coke and you're waiting in line, some guy comes in there and for like $20 he wants to stick up the joint and maybe shoot somebody. You got to know where the exits are. You got to know your line of fire. Line of fire is so important. If you make that critical decision to engage this chucklehead, you got to be able to line up that shot. So if you do penetrate that moron, then you're not going to...
Know your backstop.
Know your backstop, your right and left limits. Make sure that the public is safe, because if you miss, because you're a chowderhead, then he's going to return fire and you don't want anybody behind you. You assume the responsibility of being shot and taking someone's life, so the gunfight is between you two chowderheads.
Now, I talk about this all the time, too. When people first come into my class, I ask them to designate a number of themselves, 1 through 10, as to their want to carry a weapon. A 10 is all the time. 1 is I just got the license so I can go buy a gun and make it real simple without having to get a NICS check. And so I ask them, why are you here? What's the purpose for you taking this class? And I'll get numbers. Sometimes I get a lot of 10s. Sometimes I get 5s and 7s. And then I say, okay, remember that number, because in about an hour and a half, I'm going to see how you handle guns and match it up with your mental perception of what you think you can do into the comparison of what you really can do. So if you're a mental 10, think I'm going to carry the gun all over the place, but you can only physically run the gun like a 1, 2, or 3, we got a problem. So coming back to what you're saying, Mark, if you're in the convenience store and something's going down and you got a license to carry and you got a gun, that doesn't make me feel good if you don't know what the heck you're doing. So although you got the gun, you may have to jump. If you pull the trigger, push the trigger, anticipate the shot, anticipate the recall, freak out, pee your pants, whatever, you know, you're not doing anybody any good. So you've got to train.
I was just chuckling because I can visualize Clint Eastwood saying, a man's got to know his limitations. Right? And that goes for women too, because I think it's statistically proven women are better shots than men, but I'm not going to brag about
that. It's because they listen. They don't think they know it all. I can't tell you how many women I've trained when it comes to a handgun, and they just listen. And the guy I got now, I know I got classes with co-ed people, husbands and wives.
Dude,
and
what about the female class where they came from Arizona or New Mexico to your?
Yeah, they came from all over. That's right.
And yeah, it was great.
And one of the comments was, "Yeah, I didn't want my husband here because you know I sit here like a bump on a log when he's here because he always wants to tell me stuff." And that's, you know, that's normal. But when the guys ain't around, the hair comes down, and man, they're open to listening. Yeah. They just have a whole bunch of fun. They get up and do it. So, ladies, if you want to get a class going, 5 or more, give me a call. We'll get you a class set up, and you will have a blast, pun intended. Okay, I'm jumping all over here, guys. Keep me back on track. What's this thing about control pair, continuous pair, triple tap, follow-up, so on and so forth?
Well, when I was fortunate enough to work with Zoli on the range, and he was like a master instructor out there, and I'm looking for the next tactical range that we do together. But he was teaching the guys that there is a control pair, a continuous pair, and a triple tap. Control pair is where you take one shot, you follow through, and your sights are lined up, so then you take the other shot. Once you master the control pair, then you go into a continuous pair, which is like tat-tat, tat-tat, because your follow through is so...
Rhythmic?
Rhythmic, yes. That's a good word.
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
That's about a 75% word, yeah.
So then it's two shots, and the shorter in space and time, the closer those two rounds are going to be on target. However, as operators, when we go in to clear a house or when we're engaging a terrorist situation, we triple tap to instantaneously eliminate the threat so we can move on to the next target. So that means two to the chest, one to the head. And now that guy is down. There's no question. He's not going to pull a trigger out of body instinct. He's done. But here in America, in the civilian world, I was concerned about our level of training. If we do engage a home intruder or just a bad guy that wants to shoot up a mall like what happened a month ago, if we triple tap this guy, are we going to have to face civil lawsuits because we used extreme measures?
Now, that's a topic for Attorney Benton Ross Watson.
He's a good guy, and I'm sure he has a good answer, but that always worries me because I want to instantaneously remove the threat. I don't want to worry. Now, the guy at Fort Hood, if they had instantaneously eliminated that threat, he wouldn't have spent so many years in prison, and we wouldn't have had to pay millions of dollars for his civil rights.
You know what I like? I like the concept, the word stop. I like to stop the threat, and that goes a long ways. That doesn't mean one shot. That means I shoot until the threat is over.
Bingo.
So it could mean 5, 10, 15 rounds if you're hyped up on PCP or whatever it is. You're huge, you're a Hulk, or you're shooting bad. Let's say you're a terrible shot. And you shouldn't be if you come and take one of my courses. But let's say you got a Glock 17 and a 17 rounds on a Glock, right, for a 9mm. And let's say you're shooting it, but you shoot terribly and you're hitting him in the knees and the legs, but he's still crawling at you. And he's crawling with his fingers and his knees and he's dragging and he's still moving. And he's still a threat to me.
Yes, he can pull a trigger. Now, Zoli and I have been trained to eliminate immediately so then we can secure the area, get accountability, treat the wounded, and get emergency medical services on the spot. But As long as that guy's still breathing, he poses a threat.
I can't argue there, buddy.
No, thank you very much. I mean, that's just my environment.
All right, guys, look, we're winding down to 2 minutes here, so let's take a minute to wind it, wrap it up, and then gives me a minute to close it up.
I got to steal 1 minute, or I got to steal 30 seconds. There are so many people listening to this show, fantastic people, and thank you for listening to this show because it's a great show, people. But I got to tell you, if you own a business and you need some plug time, if you need some advertisement, become a sponsor because this radio show is very important. I listen to it in Africa, and a lot of the security teams, French Foreign Legion guys, Israelis, South Africans, we love this show because it brings up really good points of view, really good topics on how to do things. So if you own a business, become a sponsor to this show, please.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. That was an unsolicited promotion from you. I appreciate
it's
that
necessary.
Very much.
It's necessary. The truth needs to get out there.
All right. Zoli, finish up the next 30 seconds here, and we'll wrap it up.
How about?
Can't wait to do another course, and we've got a lot of things lined up, and we're just waiting for groups of five or more. What I do, ladies and gentlemen, is I set about two or three courses up in the year, okay, that instructors like Zoli here and I and Mark, we set up and promote it. But other than that, people call me, and with groups of five or more, we set up seminars specifically for you. So if you've got the intention of wanting to learn shotgun, pistol, AR platform, special class on that, or semi-auto rifle, AKs, Mini-14s, whatever, if it's semi-auto, we can set up for that. Mark, you got something?
Yes, really hot. You can go out to the front site, gun site. You can pay $3,000 for a weekend of shits and giggles. Or you can come to Aaron's Gun Shop and get the same training and have a great time with some qualified people who've been there and have done that, and you can do it at a fraction of the cost.
Okay, shots and giggles, very good. Okay.
Shots and giggles, that's what I said.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it was a great show, and until next week, remember, keep your powder dry and God bless.